I will love you if. That's human love. That is typically how we show love to other people. That's the first blank on your notes, by the way. Human love says, I will love you if. If. So if you do this, I will love you. If you don't do this, then I will love you. If you behave a certain way, then I will love you. If you behave a certain way, then I will not love you. It all depends on conditions. We say in our mind, whether or not we communicate to our spouse, which is usually not a good idea, our love is often very conditional. It often is actually conditional depending upon what's going on inside of us. I'll love you if I'm in a good mood. I'll love you if, I had a good day. I'll love you if my car didn't break down. I'll love you if my work wasn't terrible. I'll love you if when I get home the kids aren't screaming and hollering. I'll love you if when you get home you help the kids that are screaming and hollering. I love you. All these things that we throw on to human love, it all is conditional. Whether we admit it or not, it's conditional. And that's why most marriages have a really hard time with this, because of all the unspoken ifs. Rarely do we honestly talk about our expectations in marriage. Now, how many of you have been married for 10 years or more? Let me see your hands. 10 years or more. Awesome. Cool. Look around. That's awesome. Fantastic. So this is really cool. Now, do you remember when you first got married? Do you remember that? So I heard somebody go, yeah. You remember when you first got married? You remembered the expectations that you had in your mind, didn't you? You remembered like, oh, it's going to be like this. And like 10 years later, you're like, I was so stupid and naive. And what was I thinking? And man, that's not what marriage. Now, those of you that aren't married, don't be like, I am never getting married. I don't know what's going on. Because it's wonderful. There are moments that are, just transcendent and amazing. But I'm going to be honest with you, there are also moments that are really tough. And that's why God says that we need to have his kind of love. And God's kind of love says, I'll love you even. Human love says, I'll love you if. God's love says, I'll love you even. Even if, even when, even though, I will love you. God says, I will love you even though you fall to the same sin over and over and over and over and over again. I will still love you even when. God's love says, I will love you even if you forget to spend time with me. Even if you forget to spend just a few moments of your day reflecting on what I did and how I worked in and through you, I will love you even if. And God says, I will love you even though you may reject my love, I will still love you. That's why John 3:16 is so powerful. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his only son, his one and only son. He gave it to us before we ever deserved it or asked for it. He gave it even though many of us and many people in the world still reject his love. It doesn't change the fact that his love for them is consistent and unconditional. Here's what's an amazing fact, and if this is the only thing you get today, that's fine. It's not a part of your notes, but you can write it down, and this is so important for you to understand. God cannot love you any more than he already loves you. It's not because he has limited his love, it's because his love is limitless for you. God will not love you any less tomorrow than he loves you today. God's love for you is complete, unconditional, and unrestrained. And Jesus says, I want you to love each other as I have loved you. And that's an amazing thought. Those of you that are married, I just want to throw this out there. Jesus says that you are supposed to love your spouse with no conditions. You are supposed to love your spouse with no restraint. You are to love your spouse so much that you cannot love them more and you will never be able to love them less. That's how God wants you to love your spouse. Now listen, before you start going, just realize that it goes both ways, okay? Just realize that this is reality. This is what God has called us to. And I know many of you, if not all of you, are going, I don't think that that's possible. Yes, that's where God steps in. Because God goes, I'm going to give you the ability to love them because you have received, you have accepted my love. Now you can understand what that love is like and you can begin to reflect that love to your spouse. So let's kind of put that in terms that we can understand. Ladies, it means that you will love him even when he leaves the toilet up for the 117th time in the same month, in the middle of the night, with no lights on. Guys, it means that you will love her even when she moves your stuff again to the right spot. It means, ladies, that you will love him even if he forgets your anniversary. I know, some are like, that's a little too personal. I think you need to back off of that. That you will love her even when she says yes, but really means no, and then gets upset because you did what she said you could do, even though she said yes, but really meant no, because you should have known better than that. Ladies, it means, and this is really personal to a couple of you this morning, even though he roots for the Patriots, Anthony right there, Crystal, thank you so much for showing unconditional love to your husband. And if you didn't know, Anthony, for some weird, strange reason, I'm pretty sure he was dropped in his head several times in Yugoslavia as a child, is rooting for the Patriots today. Now, there's a legitimate Philadelphia fan right here. So afterwards, we're going to dig a pit 10 foot by 10 foot, put both of you in and see who comes out. And then we'll all put money on that team. Okay, so... But seriously, it's like, man, you think about these types of things that are so silly. Do you realize that marriages are breaking up because of political bent? Marriages are in all sorts of turmoil because of what team they root for or don't root for. It's stupid stuff like that that causes all sorts of problems because of these things. Guys, it means that you will love her even when she makes you wait 30 minutes while she's figuring out which pair of shoes she's going to wear, and asking you which one looks better. Even when. You go, well, okay, how exactly is this something that God did for us? Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. And this is so powerful. It just hits the nail on the head to exactly what God's love for us is like. Ephesians 2 says this. It says, all of us used to live that way. Paul just spent the first several verses of this chapter going, man, some of you were messed up, some of you were screwed up, some of you did this, and some of you did that, and some of you did this. I mean, we made all these stupid mistakes and errors and sins and hateful behavior and disgusting things that we did over and over and over again. He says, and even those of us that are in the church, that are church people, that are Christians, you used to live that way. So number one, stop being arrogant and looking down at everybody else because you used to be just like them. And the only reason you're not just like them today is because of Jesus Christ. So he continues, he says, we all used to be that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature by our very nature. So you didn't have to do anything. You were born this way. By your very nature, you were subject to God's anger. You see, when a sinful dad and a sinful mom get together and have kids, guess what procreation produces? Sin. Sinful kids. If you have small children, you know this to be so true. They are deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it except a parent? Because that's what happens. So when you're born, you are born sinful, and you are born in opposition to God because God is perfect in imperfection, and sin cannot exist in his presence. And so God says, that's not good enough. I love you so much, I'm going to send my son. He says, but God is so rich in mercy, and mercy is not giving us what we deserve. Mercy is not giving us what we've earned. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that, catch this, even though. Because God's love is not based on if, God's love is based on even. Even when, even if, even though. That God loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace. See, mercy and grace are two sides of the same coin. Mercy is not God not giving us what we do deserve and have earned, and grace is God giving us that which we cannot deserve and we have never earned. So God didn't just not give us what we deserve, but he gave us something we didn't deserve, and he gave us life through Jesus Christ, it is only by God's grace that you have been saved. And I know that there's a lot of places that teach, boy, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to get baptized, you got to walk this way, you got to talk this way, you got to sign this commitment, you got to this. No. The Bible says that the only way to God is through Jesus Christ by faith alone. That's it. If you can do anything, you can brag about it. Think about it. Think about the stupid things that we have bragged about in our lives. Like, you can ride a bike. Look, I can ride a bike. Now you're like, well, that's stupid. Well, at that point in time in your life, you thought that was pretty great. Some of you, when you learned to chew gum and walk at the same time, that was a day of celebration. You're like, look, I can do this. And that's how we think, because our minds are so small. But God says, listen, there is nothing that you can do to earn salvation. There's no way you can live good enough. There's no way you can talk good enough. There's no way you can act enough. There's not enough time. And not even to begin that, all of your works, the book of Isaiah says, are like dirty rags before God, because God sees what's going on inside and the motivation and the intents of your heart. And so only by God's grace and mercy can we ever get salvation through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. That's it. God's love for us is unconditional. And it is absolutely unrestrained. He cannot love you more, and he will never love you less. And God says, that's how you're to love your spouse. Well, how is that supposed to look? Well, I wrote a couple things down. Now, these are not necessarily inspired by Scripture so much as they are just kind of walking through life and understanding some things. So let me just give you a couple things. We're going to start talking to the guys first. So ladies, here's the thing. Don't start pinching or elbowing or anything like that, because you're coming next. So just be aware of that, okay? So how are some ways that you can show unconditional, unrestrained love to your husband? Number one, compliment every day without being requested. Excuse me, I got that backwards. I'm talking to the men now. Guys, I got that backwards. My apologies. If you're wondering about that, you're like, ladies, compliment him. Seriously? Okay, so for the men, guys, what you need to do for your wives is you need to compliment her every day without being requested. Compliment her every single day. If you need to put it on your phone calendar so that a reminder pops up that says, compliment her. If you're sitting there going, well, I just don't know what I'm going to compliment, it's really important for you to start thinking hard about that and start working on that. Because your wife needs to know that when you see her, you appreciate her. And you don't have to, I mean, you're like, well, I don't, you know, what am I supposed to compliment her on? Anything. Anything. Do you realize that your wife is desperate for you to say kind things to her about things that she has done? You go, well, what am I? Let's say she gets home and she's worked all day just like you have, and you're like, well, we both worked all day, so, I mean, you know, shouldn't she do this and this? And yet she gets up and she decides that she's going to make dinner, or she's going to do the dishes, or she's going to sit with the kids or whatever. And you walk in and you see it going on, and there wasn't an argument about who was going to do it and who wasn't going to do it or whatever. And you walk in and go, oh man, you are such a good mom. Boom! That's like $1 million jackpot lottery. If she comes downstairs and the two of you leave about the same time for work, and she comes downstairs and she's got an outfit on, and notice, I didn't say it looks good. I didn't say it's a nice outfit. I didn't say it fits. She's got clothing on. And she comes downstairs and you go, well, that looks really nice. She'll go, this? You're like, yeah, that really looks sharp on you. Guys, watch the body language that happens after that. She could have no coffee in her whatsoever, and she'd be like, that's right. And she would walk around that way all day long. Why? Because the man that she is married to thinks she's something special every day. Compliment her every day. And if you go, I have a hard time. Let me tell you something. You start doing it, you're going to have a hard time not complimenting her every day, because you're going to discover things that your wife does for you that you never thought about before. because you started to see her for who she is. Compliment her every day. Second thing, guys, that you need to do is talk with her about what's going on with you. Notice it doesn't say talk about her with what's going on with her. She does that freely. Talk. You all ladies can get mad, but you know it's true. Do you know what happened today? No, I don't, but I'm going to. But do you know she wants to hear about you and your day? And what you've done, and how you've engaged with other people, because she wants to be a part of your life. And guys, I know that's hard. Let's be honest. I mean, I can go, and I've done it multiple times. I can go hunting with two or three other guys. We can be gone before anyone in the house gets up, get back just before everyone else goes to bed. And Tracy's like, did you have a good day? I'm like, well, I saw two deer, but they were too far away to really shoot. Okay, were you guys in the woods all day? No, we went and grabbed lunch at this diner somewhere. What did you guys talk about? Stuff? Well, what kind of stuff? What did you guys talk about? We were talking about how, their new camo looked really good. I mean, but that's about it. You're like, you sat there for 2 hours eating in that thing. What did you talk about? I don't remember. Now, ladies, can I just give you a little sidebar really quickly? It is not a lie. We don't remember. Our brains are like airtight submarines. When we move from one room to the next and we close the door, we forget that there was another room. That's how our minds work. But guys, if you really want to connect on a level that your wife is desperate for you to connect on, take notes about your day. If you really struggle remembering, take notes. If you go, I don't want to carry notes, you've got a phone with you all the time, take a picture. You have a conversation with someone, go, hang on a second. Why'd you take a picture of me? Don't worry about it. Just to remind you, while I was going through that, I had a conversation with Al. Al unfriended me on Facebook. I'm not sure why, but just do it so that you can connect with her in a way that she desires desperately for you to connect with her. And then finally, listen and respect her opinion. Listen and respect her opinion. When we do both premarital and marital counseling, this is one of the things that that I personally try to hammer home with the guys. Guys, if you are married, and I'm going to say this as lovingly, but in a language that you can understand. Guys, if you are married and you do not listen, respect, and really appreciate your wife's opinion and counsel, you are a freaking idiot. And let me tell you why. Your wife sees stuff that you never will. It's like, as guys, we tend to see things in black and white. Right, wrong, left, right, up, down, sideways. We see things very that perspective. Your wife sees like in three-dimensional. She sees what's going on, the motivation behind what's going on, the facial inflection. Did you see that eye twist? Did you see the way that he looked at? Did you see the way that she looked at herself? They see things that you never will. And if you do not incline your ear, if you do not go, honey, what do you think? And then give it, allow her to give it and allow yourself to receive it and go, that should color every decision that you make. Only stupid, ignorant, selfish, male chauvinist men, did I make that clear enough? Don't listen to their wives. Now, I'm here to say they're not always right, contrary to popular belief. They're not always right, but they almost always give you some information that you didn't have before, which may change the direction of the decisions that you make. And guys, when you go, honey, I really want to hear what you have to say, and she tells you and then you laugh at her? Or she tells you and you go, well, that's stupid. Don't expect her to ever give it to you again. Because you have taken something that, remember, that's part of her, who she is. It's conversational. And you have taken something that she's given and you've thrown it away as if it didn't matter. Now, you don't always have to follow it, but if you don't listen and respect her opinion, you're setting yourself up for difficulty going forward. That is how you as a guy can show unconditional love to your spouse. All right, ladies. Okay, for the women. I'm going to take a drink of water first. Because we can't laugh as guys with our spouse sitting right next to us. They can't. That's fine. Ladies, you need to affirm his masculinity daily. You need to affirm his masculinity daily. You go, oh, that's so silly. No, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. There is nothing more emasculating than having your wife not think you're a man's man. I'm just telling you. It is incredibly demoralizing. It makes him not want to take risks. It makes him not want to lead. It makes him not want to really try. If you're like, well, I don't understand. I mean, my husband was up for a promotion, but he didn't even take the interview. I don't know why. I mean, when he came home, I told him what a loser he was and why he didn't do that. And gosh, any other man, I bet you Cal down the street, I bet you he would have done that promotion. You are literally tearing apart the very fabric of who he is as a man. And I know that you think, that sounds so stupid. No, let me tell you something. Just like for you, your husband saying to you, whatever compliment reaffirms and makes you just feel like, yeah. You affirming that he is truly, he's a man. Now, you don't have to be like, oh, honey, you are such a man. No. But like, seriously, you could get creative with it. You know, he comes home or he, you know, maybe he's decided that he's going to start lifting weights. And 2 days afterwards, you go, wow, man, that is really working out. And look at those muscles on you. And he's like, really? What? I mean, okay. Do you know what? He's going to lift weights for the next 10 years of his life. Even though he did it for 2 days, because you're like, that looks good. Or you just talk about, you know, how much he provides or how hard he works or all these different things. You're affirming his masculinity. It's the core of who a man is. And by the way, who God created him to be. There's nothing wrong with it. You don't want a girlfriend as a husband. I'm just telling you. You just don't. Affirm his masculinity daily. Second thing, communicate in his language. And I don't mean like, oh, just watch him, ladies. Watch him. See what he enjoys doing. See how he connects with other guys. Watch the things that make his eyes light up when he's doing it. A hobby or maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe he loves to do stuff outside, or he loves to drive, or whatever the case may be. You just see there's this like this energy that begins to come into him. You need to figure out a way to connect with him in that way, in the thing that it draws him in. Because here's the amazing and incredible thing, that when you get married, you become partners with each other. And so he's looking for someone that will join him in some of the exciting things that he does and he enjoys doing. And so you're communicating, you're connecting with him in a way that he understands, in a language that he understands. And believe it or not, although we speak the same language, English, we don't always speak the same language when we're communicating with each other. It happens all the time. You know, you can say one thing and all of a sudden your spouse gets upset and you're like, why are you getting upset? Well, you said da-da-da-da-da. Well, yeah. Well, you meant, whoa, time out. No, that's not what I meant. What I meant was da-da-da-da-da. Well, that's what I just said. That is not at all the same thing that I just said. Well, yes, it is. Well, let me try another way. No, don't. Let's not try another way. Because we often don't speak the same language. And so, ladies, the best thing I can tell you is go to school on your husband. Just watch him. How does he communicate? And how can you communicate in a way he can understand? Number three, honor his decisions with respect. Honor his decisions with respect. Now, in all honesty, in all transparency, guys are going to make bad decisions sometimes. We just are human beings. Ladies, how would you like it if every time you made a decision that didn't work out, your husband reminded you about that every single time you made a decision going forward? Let me put it in a perspective that you can understand. Hopefully that you can understand. Let's say you go to a store somewhere and you're with your husband and you've got something that you're going to and you find a pair of shoes that you just love. Ladies, do you like shoes, maybe? Some of you? Sometimes? Yeah, we know. Okay. And you find a pair of shoes that are amazing. I saw a couple pairs of shoes this morning that were really cool, some sparkly ones, some Pittsburgh Steeler ones. But you find a pair of shoes and they are stiletto heels. And they are awesome. And your husband says this to you, honey, we're going to be on our feet at this thing for 5 hours. Those may not be a good pair of shoes to get for that. And you say to your husband, oh, it's worth it. And you get those shoes, and you wear the aforementioned shoes to the aforementioned party that you're on your feet for 5 hours. 2.5 hours in, you realize he was right. Now, wouldn't it be great of your husband from this point on, every time you purchase any piece of clothing, for him to remind you, do you remember the stiletto shoes? Because that was a bad decision. And let's be honest. Sometimes, ladies, because, again, your minds, you remember everything. That's what you do every time your husband makes a decision that you may not like. Well, do you remember the stiletto shoe incident? You wouldn't like that. But yet, for some reason, that's exactly what you do to him every time he makes a decision that you may or may not like or agree with. Now, again, if he's showing unconditional love to you, he's listening to your counsel. He's asking for your counsel. But there are times when he may need to make a decision that you don't necessarily agree with. And so that is when you may not agree with it. And it's okay, by the way, to disagree. It's okay to say, I don't think that's the best decision. But then once the decision is made, it is no longer I, it is now we. And as a spouse, you respect that. You don't throw it back up in the face. You don't beat it like a dead horse. You respect it. Now, our hope is that as you continue in marriage, that you're going to actually make the vast majority of your decisions together. That's what the best marriages are like. But sometimes there are going to be times when decision is made that you don't agree with, but you still need to respect it as long as he's making that decision in a way that honors God. Obviously, if he decides, well, I think I'm going to go rob a bank. No, that's not a wise decision. I'm not going to respect that. That's stupid. Don't do that. So how do we kind of put this all together? Well, I think to wrap it up, it's best to read a passage of Scripture back in Ephesians just a couple of chapters later. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 through 33, it says this, as the Scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united as one. This is a great mystery. We're like, I don't know how that works. But the two united as one. But it is also an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. Do you realize your marriage is a symbol for the way that Christ loves the church? Then he wraps it up this way. He says, so again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Men, your wife feels most loved when she is cherished. Women feel most loved when they are cherished. Now that is a powerful word. To understand what that word means, it simply means this. It means to protect and care for someone lovingly, to hold them in a dear position in your heart. Your wife desperately wants to be cherished by you. The Bible says that your wife is like a vase, not a vase where you buy at Walmart, a vase that is tender, and you can easily break her spirit if you handle her roughly. So she must be cherished. Now, ladies, the passage of Scripture also says really clearly how your husband feels most loved. Men feel most loved when they are respected. Men feel most loved when they are respected. To respect someone means to admire someone deeply as a result of their character, abilities, and achievements. You're like, he hasn't achieved anything. Just like he's maybe struggling to find a compliment for you each day, maybe you need to find an achievement for him each and every day. Because your husband will feel most loved when you respect him. That's why, honestly, and Tracy and I have had so many conversations over the years, it breaks our heart when we hear, especially, it's usually a group of women together, and they're all bashing their husbands. It's like, what are you doing? You are literally tearing the fabric of who he is and your ability to express love to him. It undermines the very purpose of doing that. And by the way, if he's not cherishing you, like, well, then I don't have to respect him. Well, that's going to work really, really well, isn't it? You are uncherished, he's unrespected, you're both fully miserable. Yay! At some point in time, somebody's got to be the grown-up. Somebody's got to be the grown-up and begin to show unconditional, unrestrained love like God does. And look to your spouse and say, you know what? I'm going to love you the way God created you. As my wife, I will cherish you no matter what. I'm going to love you the way that God created you. As my husband, I'm going to respect you no matter what. I'm going to find a way to do that. At the end of each of these messages, I'm going to challenge you to make a big commitment to your spouse. If you're married, if you're not married, I would say just put future spouse. If you're like, yeah, I want to be married someday, put future in there. Because if you start to learn these lessons now, man, it's going to set you up for so much success going forward. So here is the big commitment I want to challenge you to express to your spouse. It's really simple. I am going to love you even when. You can fill in the blank if you want to. I'm going to love you even when you leave the toilet seat up. I'm going to love you even when you move my stuff. I'm going to love you even if you root for a team that is really disgusting and I'm sure is the spawn of Satan. I'm going to love you no matter what. By the way, if you missed that, that was the Patriots. So I'm going to love you even when. And here's my challenge. Don't just mark it on the paper. Sometime today, look at your spouse and go, honey, I'm going to love you even when. Even when I'm old and you're old, even when you can't hear, even when things are in wrong places and ears are droopy and other stuff is too, I'm going to love you even when. Because God loved me unconditionally and without restraint. So I choose to love you unconditionally and without restraint. Father God, help us to not only understand your love, but help us to embrace it. God, as we understand your love, it helps us to love our spouse. Help us to love you as you love us, but then also express that love to our husband, to our wife. God, I pray that every woman here would make that commitment in her heart to love her husband as you created him in respect. And God, I pray for every man here that he would just humble himself to love his wife more than he even loves himself, and would cherish his wife because that's exactly what she needs. God, allow your love to flow through each of us to those we say we love. Father, we thank you for this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.